5, 4, 3, 2.
Please.
Shut up. Sorry, not shut up.
This song is so...
Please
be
quiet.
Burrowed in my brain.
Yeah, because they play it like 5 times in this movie. 6 times. 7 times. 8 times. 9 times. They
also
play it a lot.
The theme to the Subaru commercials.
Yeah.
Is
zom,
in this.
Zom, zom. Yeah, for those of you that remember that commercial from the early 2000s. Hopefully you all remember us. I know we took a week off and had a re-release, but that's what these 5 weeks of Martial Arts Month has been able to afford us. We're still able to pick back up with the theme and round out this month.
Final week.
The final week of Martial Arts Month 2024 with a new episode.
What a robust month.
What a robust month. And we've had 3 new episodes. If you ever found yourself wanting to revisit Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain, we gave you that re-release this last week. And this week, we're giving you a film you may not have ever heard of, but is a nice little early 90s gem called Only the Strong.
Only the Strong. I watched it for the first time on Netflix for about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
Yeah, back when they had those movies where you could find the B action movies.
Yeah. Told you about it, and I thought you had watched it.
I hadn't.
But we were texting back and forth last night, and I was like, was this the first time you'd watched it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yep.
It was.
So I was surprised.
Yeah, and I watched it again this morning. Definitely liked it a lot more the second time, because yesterday I was telling you, welcome back into the Radcast, everybody.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And thank you for joining us once again. But back to my sentence here.
Yes.
I was texting you saying it was fine. It was all right.
I was a little surprised. I thought it would have been like, upon first watch, you'd been like, that was cool.
Well, the problem is I've realized after watching it a second time before recording here, and I've liked it a lot better the second time. And for those of you out there that maybe you didn't like a movie that a lot of people said you'd like, ask yourself, how many times did I look at my phone during that movie?
How many times
was I distracted during that movie?
Yes.
Because the first time viewing, admittingly, you know, nobody's here to distract me. I live by myself.
Yes.
I was, you know, taking looks at my phone. I was texting back and forth with you while the movie was going on, and it affected my opinion because I wasn't able to pay full attention.
I think that is a common thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I hesitate to show people movies that I like because we have our phones here.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to look at your phone, especially when there's seemingly a break in the action, a break in the plot of the movie, something. But you'll miss things if you're not watching. That's why I try, when I'm watching movies with people, I try and put my phone somewhere else. I don't want to look at my phone because I want to pay attention.
Yeah.
And that's what's difficult, because I know if you're looking at your phone, and it's some, like, I'm trying to show you something I think you would like. You look at your phone, and later, if you're like, oh, it wasn't that good, there's kind of an asterisk next to your opinion because it's like you weren't fully paying attention.
Right.
And and I realize I'm not great at multitasking.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of people can look at their phone and still pay attention and all that stuff. It's very difficult, though. So all that to say, that's a pet peeve of mine when I'm trying to show someone or someone's watching a movie for the first time. If they spend any amount of time looking at their phone, it's tough to pay attention.
Yeah.
And you miss, especially in a comedy, you miss visual gags, too.
I mean,
this isn't a comedy, but...
No, but I mean, that doesn't mean there aren't funny parts.
It's true.
But film, you know, it's a visual medium. Same with television, and a lot of the storytelling and a lot of, you know, questions that someone may have are answered sometimes visually. Sometimes people aren't going to just tell you. We mentioned 2 weeks ago on Rapid Fire how, although sometimes we're like, well, they didn't do this or they didn't do this, and to kind of clue us in on this. That's true. I think it is necessary for bits of exposition, but also movies have the benefit of the viewer being able to piece things together by reading between the lines, mm-hmm. through visual things.
Sure.
Like you said, all that to say, I completely agree. It's kind mm-hmm. of annoying when you're trying to show somebody something you think they'd like, and like during points of the movie, you look over and they're like looking at their phone.
And I don't want to be the person to be like, hey, watch this.
No.
Hey, watch this. Hey, no. Watch. You're not watching. Watch this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if it's a point that I know is coming up that's pretty awesome, and I look over and they're looking at their phone, yeah, I don't want to be like, hey, check this out. Check this out.
It's like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Because I understand, because I'll do this too, of like something triggers something I'm watching.
Yeah,
it's like, pull up my IMDb.
Yeah.
App.
What was that person in? Yada, yeah. yada.
And what's the trivia around yeah. this? You know.
And I'm not always pausing.
Of
it.
Course. And I'm not, and I say this like I'm like prime example of like, look at my phone. Yeah. Of course I look at my phone, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to make it a point to right. like not.
Yeah. And this isn't targeted at anybody.
No, of course
specifically.
Not.
Like, no. this, like an instance hadn't happened lately to where it comes up. It's just something.
You just
that,
said something and it reminded me. Yeah. Like, oh, that's kind of that.
Yeah.
It was a good example of how you can miss things.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh, I wasn't looking at my phone the whole time. And I liked it a lot better.
There was a time where we were showing a group of friends a movie and there were a couple of them talking throughout the entire movie, and then at the end they were like, I really like that, to which I was like, yeah, that's great, but
I'm
like
glad
also
you did, but
you weren't paying attention to it at all. How do you like it? But you know, whatever, again,
yeah.
It's not an indictment against anybody in particular.
I guess paying attention to movies is really for only the strong.
It's for only the strong. Which makes me think of the Journey B-side, Only the young, which you can find on the Vision Quest soundtrack.
Yes.
Vision Quest, a movie I've never seen. However, the soundtrack is very good.
Mm-hmm.
It has one of my favorite Corey Hart songs, as if you just have two to
never
choose from.
Uh-huh.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Only the Strong.
Yes.
But we should have done this before our little soapbox diatribe there.
Yeah.
But before we get into the movie itself, let everyone know where they can find us, please.
You can find us on Instagram. We are at the Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. The Radcast is all one word. You can also find us on wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the Radcast. If you go to our Instagram, and the link in our bio mm-hmm. is to the Redbubble page of one Jeff Wright Designs.
Yes.
And when you're there, you will find our merch.
Yep.
You can get stickers, mugs, shirts, hats,
mm-hmm.
whatever. There's just two designs right now, mm-hmm. but feel free to feast on it. And if you get merch, DM us a picture of the merch.
If you're so inclined to do so, if you're comfortable doing so, take a picture of yourself with the merch or take a picture of your merch.
Of
it doesn't
merch?
Have to be of you and merch.
I want to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening and you're friends with us, you can text me, you can text Steven, mm-hmm. you can still DM us. But, you know, we want to show it off. We take great pride in it, and we're very happy that people are mm-hmm. invested in the podcast and they want to purchase our merch.
Join the likes of our mom, our friends Chris Haney, Joe Gilbert, Matt Swafford,
mm-hmm.
Matt, my brother Matt.
Hello.
Who also, you are a part of the show in some capacity.
In some capacity. I'll drop by from time to time.
Every now and then. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here.
Hi.
Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about why you all are here and listening. Only the Strong was released August 27th, 1993, which means all four entries this year, all four of the new episodes, mm-hmm. Three Ninjas, High Noon, and Mega Mountains, 1998, all came out a year after one another.
Yeah.
So Shodown Little Tokyo was 91, Rapid Fire was 92, this was 93, and the next Karate Kid was 94.
Yeah.
And
we did not plan that.
No, we didn't. And Rapid Fire, Shodown Little Tokyo, and this all came out within days of each other in August.
Yeah.
So August 27th, 1993, directed by Sheldon Lettich.
Why does that name sound so familiar?
He wrote Bloodsport.
Mm.
He directed Lionheart.
Frank Dukes wrote Bloodsport. It's called his life story.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. we dive a little bit into the
chicanery of Frank Dukes in our Bloodsport episode.
In our initial series finale.
Yeah.
Sheldon Lettich, though, he's been involved with like four or five Jean-Claude Van Damme projects. He also directed Double Impact, which we talked about on Sucktastic Cinema. And we do not like that movie very much.
No.
But
we go into it on Sucktastic Cinema.
Starring Mark Dacascos as Lewis Stevens, who this is his second time during Martial Arts Month.
And not the character from Even Stevens.
No.
As soon as they said it, I was like, Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, exactly. He was in Double Dragons mm-hmm. right after this, which we talked about last year with our friend Derek Gove.
Yep.
Stacey Travis as Diana, which if you listen to Sucktastic Cinema, we also re-released it. She's the mom in Christmas Story 2.
Yeah.
That's a fun episode.
It is a very fun episode, not a fun movie.
No, it isn't. Jeffrey Lewis as Mr. Kerrigan shows up again. He's in Double Impact.
He's in Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash.
Spent a lot more time in this movie than in Tango and Cash.
Oh, yeah.
And appeared to be sober in this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
See, that's the thing, is I feel like it was a thing kind of well-known around, I don't want to say Hollywood, but it's kind of a well-known thing that he, you know, Jeffrey Lewis, he's a great character actor.
Mm-hmm.
Great character actor.
Good in this movie.
Very good in this movie. It's one of those things where it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, how inebriated was he? Shrugged,
yeah.
nudge. But I looked at, you know, for Wikipedia, you know, you kind of look at Wikipedia for some baseline stuff.
Wokipedia for
yes.
all you Gen Zers.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, I just made that up.
Yep. It doesn't say if he was an alcoholic or had a drinking problem. Now, again, it's not to say he didn't.
Yeah,
so you look at some of his roles and he seems a little, you know, sloshed, if you will,
yeah.
as Shakespeare would say.
Yeah.
But in this movie, I mean, he does a good job. He doesn't
yeah.
phone it in like he does in Tango and Cash.
No.
Paco Christian Prieto as Silverio, who he was in Lionheart.
Yeah, he was one of the pool fighters.
Mm-hmm. He was doing capoeira.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. Richard Coca as Orlando, who he's a pretty good little actor.
He is.
He was in Selena.
He was.
Yeah.
I knew him from this movie, but also I was like, what else was he in? Because mm-hmm. I feel like he played either a troubled high school student or some sort of criminal in another movie. I thought maybe Walker, Texas Ranger episode.
Yeah.
No. I looked at his IMDb page, and I was like, I don't know him from anything else.
Yeah. I mean, he's gotten work through the years. He just did a project in 2023, but
yeah.
he does a pretty good job in this.
Definitely the strongest actor of
mm-hmm.
all the kids.
Yeah.
Maybe the strongest actor, one of the strongest actors in the movie.
Yeah.
Mark Dacascos is not very good.
Yeah.
His martial arts is very good.
Yeah. He's better than you'd think, but he's fine.
Yeah.
He has that charm and charisma.
Yeah.
Roman Cardwell as Shay, who I think he might have been a martial artist too. He was in three movies.
Okay.
Like three sequels to a movie, like a low rate Z level movie
yeah.
franchise.
There's a lot of kids in this movie. There's a few of them that I'm like, they have a, I think they might have a martial arts background. They might have a dance background, or they might have
yeah.
a gymnastics background.
Someone like that, Ryan Ballman, who plays Donovan. I was like, he had to be like a gymnast.
And have like a dance background
mm-hmm.
or something.
Yeah. Christian Clemish as Eddie. Todd Sussman as Cochran, who he played the sheriff in Newhart.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Anderson Gunter as Felipe. He's the Jamaican gang leader.
Oh, yeah, the bartender from Encino Man.
He is, that's right, the bartender from Encino
Man.
I'm like,
what is he
Man?
From?
Uh-huh.
I looked at his IMDb, I was like, that's right.
The bartender from Encino Man, looking right at the Encino Man cloth poster that I have
uh-huh.
in the studio here.
Yep.
Great movie.
Yep.
And I'm very surprised we've never talked about that. But we
yeah.
will. Maybe we'll talk about it when we get Sean Astin on the show.
Yeah, because we're actively talking to him right now.
Exactly.
Can't just throw things out. We'll just get Sean Astin on the show.
It's not
what?
That. It's not that easy. I'm afraid I got some bad news, boys.
We will text each other and be like, we got to get this person on. We got to get this. And they're celebrities. I'm
yeah.
like, how pray tell are we going to do that?
Yeah. I mean, you'd be less likely of DMing them on Instagram or Twitter. You'd be a little more likely emailing them,
yeah.
but you have to go through agents and people. Like,
and
you
plus,
have
they're
to...
very selective on what podcast they talk. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you get like if we wanted to interview someone from Only the Strong, and
yeah.
somehow we got in touch with Shay from Only the Strong,
yeah.
he'd probably get on the show. Because
mm-hmm.
what else is he doing?
What's he doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm off today from my shift at Target.
Yeah, exactly.
But
part time,
yeah. holiday work. yeah, but box office of $3.2 million on a $6 million budget. So this movie, the VHS open is not on YouTube.
Okay.
So I found a film that Sheldon Lettich wrote that I did pull the VHS from, and Rambo 3.
Okay.
Rambo 3 Rambonia.
Yeah.
Rambonia.
Welcome to Rambonia.
That's I think that was a joke from, I remember as a kid when Sylvester Stallone hosted SNL, and it's a skit where Norm MacDonald was in an accident.
Yeah,
and
I remember
Sylvester
that,
Stallone
yeah.
is like, and he has like a bunch of Sylvester Stallone movie porn or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them's called Rambonia. but Rambo 3 VHS, the U.S. and the Soviets must team up in the film Iron Eagle 2, coming to theaters. Lou Gossett Jr.
I was going to say, is that Lou Gossett Jr.?
Yeah. Also, coming soon to video, Schwarzenegger, Belushi, the Soviets and U.S. must team
red
up in Red Heat.
Never seen it. But it reminds me of another... It doesn't remind me. Belushi was in a movie that uses a similar trope to this movie, just on the surface of outsider teacher slash ex-military slash ex-police, whatever, comes into a classroom of ne'er-do-wells and troublemakers and rights the ship and makes them appreciate their value, not just as like street hoods or whatever.
You want to know who else was in that movie with them?
Who?
Lou Gossett Jr.
Lou Gossett Jr. Yeah. You know, your substitutes, your dangerous minds, your...
I think it's that movie called The Principal.
It's The Substitute.
No, it's Tom Berenger's The Substitute. Tom Berenger slash Treat Williams is The Substitute.
Right, that's what I was referring to. But I think that is The Principal, the Belushi Lou Gossett Jr. vehicle.
Those are some of my favorite movies.
I love those movies. They come and it's like gangbangers and stuff like that. And
some dope dealing. Some gangbanging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I'm going to start singing Gangsta Gangsta by
sorry,
N.W.A.
Sorry, keep going.
But like gang members and hoodlums and stuff, and to like these kids are outcasts and everyone's giving up on them and good luck. And they come in and they like, we're like freedom riders. They introduce them to reading or they...
Dangerous Minds. Introduce them to Michelle Pfeiffer movies.
Yes. Just to Michelle. Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes.
As they say on Key and Peele. But yeah, they come in and they... They show these kids like, hey, guess what, everyone that wrote these kids off? They're good kids. Mm-hmm. And they teach them valuable lessons and stuff like that. And this movie takes that trope and kind of, you know, it's a little different than those movies. Mm-hmm. But we'll
definitely
get into it.
Rolls with it.
Yeah.
And then finally, next on VHS, The Howling 4. Soviet werewolves must team up. No, I'm just kidding.
It's going to be like, there's a theme here.
It's
all during the Cold War. Yeah,
Rambo 3 came out in 1988, and I feel like this is where Reagan was trying to, and we'll get into it in our 1988 episode, possibly, but I feel like this is where Reagan was trying to make good with the Soviets, because in their pocket. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
But
trickle down.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But maybe they're trying to make good with them because this is just a few years before the Cold War ended in 1989, essentially, or 1991. Between 89 and 91 is when the Cold War ended slash the Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're trying to make good.
The Berlin War.
But I feel like they're trying to make good.
Yeah.
And be like, no more so. No. We never didn't like you guys.
Yeah.
These were suspect.
When I was a kid, I thought it was called the Cold War because it's cold in Russia.
It is cold in Russia. So if you've ever seen Rocky IV, you see how cold it is in Russia.
Yeah. He's going to Siberia.
Yeah, exactly. So like you, essentially this is a school savior movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the white savior, like in a lot of these films.
Yeah.
But you, like with Rapid Fire, you went sequentially and kind of gave a rundown of the film.
First, I'd like to highlight Capoeira.
Capoeira, like,
We've mentioned it a couple times. Mm-hmm. It's super cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I give this movie credit for taking something kind of obscure and making it the focal point of the movie. Capoeira, it's an Afro-Brazilian martial art and game that includes elements of dance, acrobatics, music, spirituality. Mm-hmm. It's often said to be a martial art disguised as a dance.
Yeah.
Capoeira, it served not only as a form of self-defense, but also a way to maintain spirituality and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it was invented in the early 16th century by African slaves in Brazil, and the dance moves were incorporated to disguise the fact that they were learning to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's cool.
Yeah.
And if you just like Google Capoeira or like look up Capoeira on YouTube or watch this movie, it's very cool.
Yeah,
this is on very cool.
Oh yeah, it's on. This movie is on HBO Max.
Yeah,
as well.
If
you
want
to look. Yeah, it's if you have a Max subscription.
Yeah.
So if you have a Max subscription, you don't have to go out and purchase the movie on Amazon Prime like you have the other ones here.
Yeah.
But it's very cool. It's like a dance, a game, a martial art.
It's a very beautiful, fluid-looking martial art
that's rhythmic.
I'd say it's very much driven by rhythm.
Yeah, complex maneuvers involving like hands on the ground, inverted kicks. Mm-hmm. Like we said, it emphasizes flowing movements rather than like the fixed stances. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about the Jenga. It's like a rocking step.
Yeah.
It's kind of your starting stance in order to flow into your next moves. Mm-hmm.
And
in Capoeira.
It's also a frustrating tower game with wooden blocks.
Jenga is very, it leaves you on the edge of your seat.
You want something that has more suspense than Silence of the Lambs. Just play Jenga.
So essentially this movie, it's incorporated in this movie because Mark Dacascos was a Green Beret.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to Brazil.
In the movie.
He was a Green Beret. Mark Dacascos, in real life, a very accomplished martial artist.
Both
of his parents were martial artists.
Mm-hmm.
They created their own form of martial arts.
His dad did, yeah.
Yeah, so in addition to that, he was a practitioner of Muay Thai, of Capoeira. Yeah,
and of Wushu.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
But Mark Dacascos plays Louis Stevens, who the movie opens in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Green Beret standing on the beach, turns around. You've got these practitioners of Capoeira, like, dancing, and they've got, like, the tribal beats and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And he joins in with them.
Yeah.
And then he's discharged for some reason, just sent back to Miami, where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and... you know, the school he graduated from is now just a haven for drug dealers and gang members.
I will say one of the things, and again, I want to preface and say I do enjoy this movie now after the second time viewing it. The one thing that was like, I was like, huh? Is he just kind of randomly goes back. Like he doesn't, now, again, like we've said, nobody has to outright, when you see them doing the thing, they don't have to beforehand say their motive every time.
Yeah.
You can illustrate it through exposition.
Yeah.
And he kind of does that to Kerrigan, Jeffrey Lewis.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, like, he just kind of makes the decision off screen that he's just going to go back to the school, which, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
But then also, the school police officer walks by, looks at the doors are open, BTW.
Yeah.
And the school officer walks by, looks him up and down, and walks away.
Doesn't
and
say, like, state your business. Who are you?
I was like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I know now there's a heavier crackdown on security in all schools, not just inner city schools, of all schools. But even back then, if a strange looking person,
mm-hmm.
or not strange looking, a stranger, if a stranger comes walking into the school and the security sees them, they're not going to just look them up and down and be like,
yeah.
I gave him a visual pat down as Mac from It's Always Sunny. Gave him a visual pat down. He's clean. So he just walks.
God, what a great show.
He would, like, somebody would ask him. That could
and
have
there's
been,
only one security guard.
They could have, that could have been where the security guard is like, who the hell are you? What are you doing here? And then he's like, I'm
Louis Stevens.
I'm here to see
Mr. Kerrigan.
Where's Kerrigan's classroom? What do you want to see Kerrigan for? I don't know.
Yeah.
Just something like
just
that.
Just something.
There are a lot of things left out. Like, how did he, I had a few questions.
Yes.
So the movie opens and he's participating in Capoeira with, African Brazilians,
with the
indigenous people
mm-hmm.
there, and he's obviously friends with them. He's mm-hmm. participating. He knows how to do Capoeira.
Mm-hmm.
He's participating in the game and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. He doesn't mention how he knows Capoeira. We know later that he was a troubled student, and Mr. Kerrigan kind of set him on the right path. I'm assuming through Green Beret training, because he uses normal martial arts later. I'm assuming through Green Beret he learned that, but there's no, like, you know, when the students start to push back when he wants to teach Capoeira,
mm-hmm.
There is no, and even when administrators push back and they're like, why are we going to teach them
mm-hmm.
this to be more violent? These are violent kids. He never says, like, when I started my assignment in Brazil, I didn't know. I thought it was ridiculous too,
mm-hmm.
but I learned this from Capoeira. Capoeira is beautiful because of this.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you this.
Yeah.
This is who taught me.
Yeah.
There's nothing. He just knows it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, it's a lot that's just left to assume. And because when he's talking with Kerrigan, when he goes up to his class, which you'll get to.
Yeah.
And Kerrigan's like,
Lewis, and like they're talking, and he's kind of saying how he spent 4 years in Brazil, 4 years in military,
on the great South American crusades, training our stalwart indigenous troops how to fight the malignant cartels, which still doesn't tell us much.
No, but it's left to assume that he taught them what he knew, and they taught him what they knew, which capoeira. And also, if the word capoeira isn't stuck in your head by the time you're done with this episode, then you know, we haven't done our jobs, or we haven't said it enough.
Definitely doing my notes, I really learned how to spell it quick.
Yeah, exactly.
The amount of times I wrote capoeira in my notes.
What is it, I before O, except after so? What is it? I don't understand.
What's the phrase? Which is, if you're listening and you need to spell it for you, it's capoeira, if you want to go look it up.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah,
And it's incorporated in more like foreign martial arts films, but really this is the only U.S. martial arts film.
It was my introduction to it.
Yeah,
when I watched this movie for the first time.
But it's really the only U.S. martial arts film that it's showcased.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's left to assume that they kind of like when he fighting like bureaucracy, as also he put it, and he's like, I want to come back, start at square one, which explains why he's back where he came from, because he probably left straight from graduating Lincoln going to the military. There's a tad bit of explanation as to why he's there, but you know, it's one of those things that's kind of random. He just wakes up one day after getting back from Brazil,
taking the bus from Brazil.
Exactly, as we'll kind of mention later. Some other things you're like, wait, what's happening?
But yeah, he comes back to Kerrigan, essentially like, you put me on the right track. I'm back at square one. I really don't know what to do. I don't know if he's like here to be like, I want to try and help here, or like at some point Kerrigan's like, you know, all is lost for the kids here. Like, we're assuming that it was a normal school when he was there. He was just a troublemaker. And it's when you see descriptions of the synopsis of this movie, he comes back to it, and now it's a haven for gangs and stuff like that. So I assumed it was normal at the time, because one of the other teachers, Diana, who's the love interest, but there's not a whole lot of like romantic stuff in this movie.
Except when they kiss.
They kiss in the firehouse, but that's really it.
Yeah.
She's the love interest, but it seems like a very mature relationship. I don't know.
Whatever.
But in these movies, that typically becomes a part of like...
FWB, Friends with Benefits.
Maybe.
Who knows?
That usually, as we'll get into later, usually in these movies, the love interest plays a part in the final showdown. Mm-hmm. Like, they get harassed, they get kidnapped, they get... unfortunately abused in some form or fashion.
This is PG-13, so it's pretty it plays sinister, but it's not like super sinister.
Honestly, you bring that up, it's PG-13. At one point I was like, I haven't heard one F word in this movie so far.
A lot of shits.
Rapid Fire had a lot of F words in it. But yeah, he comes back and he's like, and Kerrigan's like, I can't help you. Like, I'm sorry, like everything is different here now. Like, he comes back and he's distraught. He's like, this school to where I got put on the right track, and this teacher is quitting. He never gave up on me, and he's given up on all these kids. And Kerrigan's like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's bars covering all the stairwells, because he's like, kids get high and they think they're Superman and jump off the third floor, or kids throw each other over the side railings and stuff like that. And so he's like, let's go to the feeding grounds. And that just means like the outside, like lunch tables. They're eating lunch, and there's proof that there's no security. Yeah. Grown men, a Jamaican gang,
just walk
on the campus, and there's a commotion, and these kids are surrounding the bartender from Encino Man, who's very Jamaican in this movie.
Because he's a Jamaican guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a Jamaican actor.
That makes sense. And it's a lot of times they just took an African-American. They're like, talking a Jamaican accent.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. He's Jamaican.
Yeah, okay. Like CJ from Three Ninjas and High Noon in Mega Mountain.
Yeah.
I will say, one funny thing is there's a rap song they use, which I think... maybe the rapper.
Of course,
because
it's the early 90s.
Yeah.
And in these kinds of inner city movies.
Yeah. It's actually, you know, not a bad song, as, you know, up against some, you know, kind of bad rap songs, like the one at the beginning.
Yes.
After the first, Pat on the way, Pat on
the way. Only the strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. You got to have those female background vocals.
Three Ninjas.
Yes.
hey, just be yourself. Not.
Yeah.
You hear us
terrible
kind of,
editing.
You hear us kind of talk about that in our Three Ninjas episode with Jeremy.
About
Wee.
The original Three Ninjas.
The original Three Ninjas.
The Uninginal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's a kid who doesn't show up again, but it's a kid with like a boombox.
Yeah, I expected him to be one of the kids. Well, I couldn't remember if he was one of the kids
when
or
we
not.
First see Kerrigan's class. The audio mixing is
yeah,
it's,
there's
it's
another part
too.
Where it's like it's distracting.
At least the first time we see Kerrigan, he's talking about Darwin's theory of evolution, only the strong,
natural selection.
Like, yeah. And he's talking about all this. It's mixed in a way to where you can faintly hear Jeffrey Lewis, you can hear Kerrigan, but then you hear just the commotion of the class, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But then later on, when all the troubled kids are outside of the bus and Jeffrey Lewis is trying to like corral them and Lewis is trying to talk to them, you can hear him faintly, but it's distracting. All you hear is the students murmuring and offhanded comments. And I'm like, in this part, I feel like you should be able to, you know, it's an alteration of two shots. You're showing all the kids who, you know, you hear the murmuring,
you got
but
the chatter.
Yeah, you can hear. You can hear Lewis, and then it goes back and forth between him, like walking up and down the line of kids, telling them what's up.
Yeah.
Or Jeffrey Lewis walking
this
up down.
This is why you're here.
It's like, you know, line up here, come on over here. Yeah. It's that particular part, like the audio is really distracting.
There's a couple times in this movie I'm glad I had subtitles on.
Yeah, same. I had to put subtitles on just because Silverio,
especially towards the end, he's from Mexico. He's he's not a great actor, and also he's a very thick Mexican accent.
Yeah. He's fine for it's one of the things where I feel like when they're speaking English, it's more stilted, but if they were acting in their language,
sure,
they're probably better actors.
And honestly, he's fine for what
he's
the role
all right.
is.
Yeah.
He's a very intimidating villain.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where like I never felt scared over him. Like I had said, it's a very like I don't want to say PG-13 sinister because there's stuff that's genuinely sinister in PG-13 movies, but it's threatening yet like not super threatening.
I think a lot of my feeling for this movie and just how I feel about Silverio, comes from the first time I watched it when I was at that time. I was like, he's very sinister.
Yeah,
especially when he knows Capoeira as well.
Yeah,
and he's a bit more aggressive.
I was gonna say, it's not like it's the villain in Cyborg who's genuinely
oof,
like freaky looking.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not talking about Cyborg.
No,
we're talking about Capoeira.
Maybe next year we will if we do Jean-Claude January again.
Maybe I think we just swap it out with Martial Arts Month.
Yeah.
Because then you just throw in a Jean-Claude movie in Martial Arts Month.
Exactly.
Anywho. I was just talking about the audio being mixed up. And back to the original joke I was going to make. In Kerrigan's class, when he's talking
make
about all this.
Make me care again about what you're talking about.
Yes. Yes. Gather around, children. but Kerrigan's, you know, like, guys, we went over this material yesterday. Nobody can summarize for me what natural selection is.
Yeah.
And there's a kid with a boombox who's seen rapping on the feeding grounds.
Yes.
And he never shows up again. And he's just like, yo, Kerrigan.
Yeah.
You know, he made some joke. He made
he's
some
like, I'm gonna naturally select my way out of your classroom or something like
and
that.
And he leaves. And literally the bell rings 15 seconds later.
Yeah.
And I was like, how rebellious is that? He just knows when the class is over. So he can be like, watch this, fellas.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch this, gang.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch me be rebellious, boys. Check this out. Say Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. I'm outie. And then 15 seconds later, it's like, well, I really had to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, how rebellious is that if you just walk out 15 seconds before everybody else walks out?
Yep. So the Jamaican gang,
yes,
which the gang, it's just three members, including, the bartender from Encino Man.
Yes.
And we're introduced to Shay at this point, who is, the leader's brother.
Yeah.
He's like, why didn't you push these drugs, man? Mm-hmm. Like next time I tell you to push these drugs, you push them and stuff. And obviously there's a crowd gathering around because it's a commotion. There's bad stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's adult gang members who just wandered onto campus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Lewis steps in. And he's like, hey, leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, listen, Teach, there's just some family business. It's none of your business. You know, it's nothing to worry about. He's like, I said leave him alone. He's like, listen, man.
I know, teach.
Yeah. He's like, listen, man. I told you to stay out of it. This isn't your business. He's like, I ain't no teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm in a shitty mood, and there's no law against making it my business, stuff mm-hmm. like that. So then the whole school is now paying attention, which is something that Kerrigan uses mm-hmm. After this in order to get administration to let him teach capoeira to the 12 most at-risk, yeah. dangerous youths mm-hmm. in the school. Mm-hmm. Which, again, isn't explained very well.
Right.
Because we don't get an explanation from Lewis as to why capoeira is so virtuous, like the virtues of capoeira mm-hmm. and why it should benefit the most dangerous kids in school. And basically he goes, he kicks ass with capoeira, which I'm going to continue to emphasize. Capoeira looks badass.
It's really cool.
It looks super cool. Mm-hmm. Mark Dacascos is very good at it. Mm-hmm. The moves are very rhythmic and flowy and cool. But he dispatches them, gets them off campus, and Kerrigan comes in. He's like, Lewis, do you realize what you did? You did what none of us professionals could do is you got the kids to pay attention. To where I was like, there's nothing academic about it.
No, it's a mob.
It's literally, there's a fight going on. Mm-hmm. That's why they're paying attention.
Exactly.
It's no different than any other Tuesday. So if any other fight would be happening. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe normally fights just break out every day and yeah. kids ignore it. And it's just the small group of people who are involved. Mm-hmm. And maybe Kerrigan's pointing out the fact that you got the whole school to pay attention mm-hmm. to it. And so because of that, I'm going to run to the principal and all the teachers and be like, you need to teach this to the most dangerous kids in school, the kids, the outcasts, the ones that everyone's given up on, mm-hmm. because it will instill discipline. It gives them something to do. Mm-hmm. It gives them something constructive to do, which beyond Kerrigan saying that, there's not an argument in favor of it mm-hmm. because a lot of teachers had good arguments to be like, so we're going to take these kids who are already violent and teach them how to be more violent, which I get. Mm-hmm. But again, nothing from Lewis to be like, it isn't about violence.
Yeah.
Capoeira is this. It teaches you this. It teaches you this. It taught me this. Mm-hmm. And I trust Mr. Kerrigan because he set me, you know, there's besides Diana stepping up and trying to stick up for Lewis.
Right.
And she's like, there was, you know, he was a troublemaker in 9th and 10th grade, and he was 11th grade social studies teacher, Mr. Kerrigan, who put him in line. So it's giving us exposition, mm-hmm. but again, you're not convincing me that this is going to be helpful for these kids. You're right. kind of on the side of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're teaching them, like, I just said his name, the Jamaican guy's, I almost said
Shay.
Boyfriend, Shay, brother, Shay. Even says later, he's like, I thought you were going to teach us how to kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
They went in with that mindset mm-hmm. of like, we're going to learn how to kick ass. It's probably what a lot of teachers thought. It's like, they're going to go and make them more violent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's like, look at how they responded. And then after they convince everybody, mm-hmm. they then go to the abandoned firehouse where yeah. that's where they're going to set up operations. Mm-hmm. This is an abandoned fire. It's been abandoned for years, we are to assume. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. And the two of them rehab, which first off, they get into this homeless guys and there. He's like, hey, guys. And I was like, want to learn capoeira?
You guys want to earn a buck?
Help us clean this place up.
He said, get together. Come on. Come on. Let's work together.
D2 the Mighty
yes.
Duck. He's like, your lease is up. And then it's a montage of them rehabbing the abandoned uh-huh. firehouse. And I was like, the two of them did that. And what we are to assume is two days. The timelines are kind of wonky
yeah.
in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jump ahead, school bus pulls up with the kid, our kid characters, who there's 12 of them. They only highlight like three or four. It's like Eddie.
Thinking of the end.
Yeah.
It just
Eddie,
doesn't make sense.
Orlando, Shay,
Donovan.
And then the kid with the skateboard, they say his name a couple times, and we see him a couple times. Uh-huh. But then they're like background kids that during montages they go to, or like when they're in their little drum circle.
One of them, for some reason, gets to kick a gang member at the end.
Gets to do a spin kick on a, not a spin kick, gets to do a capoeira kick on a gang member at the end, where you're like, who's that kid?
It's some, you know, big mouth breathing kid.
He does just a doughy face, nothing behind the eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Lights are on, but no one's home.
Yeah,
type
exactly.
deal.
It's just something that you're like, we spent time with like three or four main character
yeah.
kids. You couldn't have given that.
Give it to Eddie. You know, and there's a moment where Shay's the first one to take to it. I'm not going to take away too much from what you're talking, but
let's address that when we get to that.
But yeah, it's why it should be Eddie. And yada yada.
Speaking
yada,
of Shay, he is the target of ridicule amongst all these kids for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like I assume Shay and Orlando have a beef because it's assuming that Silviero and Orlando's are in Shay's brother are in rival gangs, mm-hmm. which later they team up to mm-hmm. take out Lewis.
So Lewis is bringing people together with what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. But again, another thing that's not addressed, uh-huh. like in just quick bits of dialogue, like, you know, your brother's a jerk or something like that. It's like, well, your cousin's a jerk or something like that. It's mm-hmm. like, I clearly don't know how to write for gang members.
You're a jerk. No, you're a jerk. We're all not jerks.
You freeze.
Yeah, from rapid fire. You freeze. No, you freeze.
I'm a cop. You freeze.
I'm an FBI. You freeze.
I'm an FBI. But, like, there's no reason for it. And mm-hmm. then maybe Orlando and Shay and Eddie, like, you could pass off for, mm-hmm. like, threatening gang members. But Donovan... it's clearly a theater kid who's dressed like a street tough.
He reminds me of, God, what's the character's name in Clueless?
Christian.
He reminds me of Christian in Clueless.
Yeah, he even has like the sunglasses on the brim of his nose. Mm-hmm.
He talks wearing, the same way. Yeah,
and he's wearing a cut-off poison vest because in 1993, poison was really tough.
Yeah, hey, man, they released... would swallow this live? I don't know.
No, but he's kind of like the music guy, which mm-hmm. again they abandon after once that trope has served its purpose. Mm-hmm. They don't really talk about how he makes music or anything like that. But he's got his big boombox, and then they're like, "Turn that down!" And Lewis is actually like, "Turn it up!" And he starts, you know, displaying the Jenga, and obviously it looks silly, and so the kids are like laughing at him or whatever. But he's just trying to display, like, no, it's rhythmic, it's mm-hmm. cool, like cool music, man. Like mm-hmm. I really dig that music, man. He doesn't say that directly, but that's kind of the attitude.
That's if you were writing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Dig that music, brother.
Yeah, exactly. Turn it up, brother. And then he puts in his Brazilian. He's like, I made this when I was in Brazil, uh-huh. and so it's kind of giving us an idea of like the music that they kind of conduct the capoeira.
I'll give you one guess on what song it is.
Paranawe, Paranawe, Paranawe. It actually wasn't that song.
Oh, yeah.
They don't do
right.
that until later.
That's right. Yeah.
But it was a similar mm-hmm. song. And everyone's like, this is stupid. I don't want to be here and stuff like that. And we're introduced to Orlando, who's Silverio's mm-hmm. cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, man, this is stupid. Like, I'm not going to do this. And he's like, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to listen to this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off this crap. Turn this crap down. Turn this crap off.
all three things he said without unprompted, unanswered.
Yep.
I think he was just rehearsing.
Just a couple breaths in between all of it. Nobody interjected.
Yeah.
And so Lewis is like, hey, come get it if you want it. And so he's displaying the agility and the fun, the game of capoeira.
Orlando pulls out a knife.
Yeah, he pulls out a knife, and he bests him, and he, like, knocks him down or whatever. And he's like, all right, everyone, class dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what's your name, man? He's like, eat shit. And he's like, well, nice to meet you, eat shit, or something like that.
Hey, eat shit. You want this your knife?
Knife back. And Kerrigan's like, what are you doing? He's like, they're never going to trust us. We don't trust them,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of thing. And
so you just release them all before the bus even gets there in a bad part of town.
Right, exactly.
which happens several times.
Yeah, which I also am, we are to assume this is an after school thing, because Kerrigan does say, like, in lieu of detention mm-hmm. or gym class,
right.
this is what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume it's after school because Diana shows up and like Kerrigan's there all the time.
And that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and he just releases them, you know, whenever class is dismissed. So mm-hmm. at first I was like, is during school hours you're just releasing them? Like, where are they dismissed to?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense that it's like after school.
I also just remembered that even in that first scene, Lewis is the one driving the bus. Because
yes,
in every other scene, when someone's driving the vandalized bus, it's Lewis. And then I just remembered in that first, the first time when they show, no, they who nobody,
no,
Lewis wasn't driving the bus
not,
the first
not
time.
When they showed up. But yeah. Yeah, later, I guess it becomes his main mode of transportation because yeah. He just pulls up later on in the movie, just pulls up to the school.
Maybe it's like in Miracle on 34th Street where the original Santa Claus gets drunk before the Macy's parade.
Yeah,
and then
we didn't get to see the scene of the bus driver drunkenly trying to do capoeira. It's like, hey,
drunkenly singing Christmas carols.
Yeah,
and dressed as Santa Claus.
And then Lewis is like, hey, man, you relieve your duties. And he takes over as the bus driver.
Exactly. They don't touch on that. Maybe it's a deleted scene.
Let's assume it is.
Yeah, but he's like, everyone show up in baggy clothes and no shoes tomorrow. So I was like, I mean, show up in shoes.
Right.
But we're not going to use them once we start doing the capoeira.
Yeah.
So then the next day they get there and pretty quickly they're dismissed because Eddie is, you know, condescendingly, because Shay is like, I thought we were going to learn to kick ass. And then Eddie's like, I thought we were going to learn to kick ass, and like, you know, smacks him on the cheek. Mm-hmm. And then Lewis has to break up a fight and he's like, class is dismissed. And they're like, yeah. He's like, Shay, you stay. He's like, I didn't even start anything. Mm-hmm. He's like, just, we got the whole afternoon. And then cut to, it's him and Shay, like, with one light on in the firehouse, and he's like teaching him capoeira. He's like, so you can show Eddie tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we can make an example of Eddie. Mm-hmm. You can show Eddie why we all need to learn this. Mm-hmm. He's essentially teaching him to kick Eddie's ass.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of mixed signals in here, and the kids take to it and learn discipline and working together because the movie needs them to.
Yeah.
Nothing's really explained to be like, you see, we do this because of this. You do this because this requires this amount of control mm-hmm. and this amount of discipline and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And clearly all the actors received capoeira training prior
mm-hmm.
because after one afternoon of learning it, Shay gets really good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the kids, you're like, I don't know what the timeline is here, but you get very proficient very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like something that you can just do.
No.
Because against Eddie the next day, he's doing moves, and I'm like, did you? That was smooth.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just instinctively do that after one afternoon of training.
Plus, the Jenga itself, it's the foundational thing to where everything else builds off of it. You need rhythm.
Yeah,
to
I
do
have
that.
All the kids pick up on the rhythm of the Jenga quickly,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think the actor that played Donovan had some sort of dance background because it's not just him getting the rhythm of it, he's doing it in a very like stylistic kind of swagger kind mm-hmm. of way of someone who you're like, oh, this is someone who's danced before.
Mm-hmm.
So cut to, you know, they all pick it up quick after, you know, Eddie is knocked down. Like, he's trying to catch his breath because Shay kicks him in the stomach. Shay kicks him in the stomach. And basically, you know, Lewis has this look like, now do you all want to learn this? Mm-hmm. And so we cut to them in a little drum circle, and there are still people who are hesitant. And then, but
Diana's there now.
Diana's there. He's teaching them the rhythm of the drum circle, teaching them how to participate because it's a whole ritual. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's not just like 1v1. It's everyone's a participant kind mm-hmm. of thing. And he brings out, which also, maestre.
Yeah,
that's the term that Lewis uses, like, call I am your maestre.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distinguished term in capoeira for mm-hmm. like a teacher.
Yeah.
And so just more nomenclature.
Ah, yes. Because they use
capoeira.
It a lot.
Yeah. Maestre. There are times when Orlando calls him maestre where I'm like, that's cool. That's mm-hmm. like Orlando's earned his respect.
Yes. Yeah.
Or he's earned Orlando's respect. But in their drum circle, they introduce the berimbau, which mm-hmm. is kind of like a stick with some strings on it, and you play it, and it keeps the rhythm of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And it keeps the pace for the jogo, which is the game.
Yeah, and Lewis was given the berimbau by his Brazilian friend at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, which, when he does it, that exchange is all in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
You could have used that could have been
mm-hmm.
like, I'm going to miss you, man.
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for...
Say that all in Portuguese. You have subtitles. Like, make it a point to put subtitles.
You know, I didn't like you at first kind of thing. But, you know, you earned our respect and thank you for teaching me capoeira because it's taught me this. Like,
mm-hmm. Nothing.
Because there's obviously, there's an attitude in the exchange between the two of them that Lewis is like, no, I can't do that, man. I can't take the Baron Bow with me.
Yeah.
There's obviously some importance with it that
the Baron Bow.
Yes. We are losing too much money on the Baron Bow account. anyway.
Please, Shay, I must go save the Baron Bow.
That exchange, yeah, could have had some explanation as to the importance of capoeira for Lewis and how he picked up on it, and the importance of the Baron Bow, especially later on in an instance where the Baron Bow causes an adverse effect.
Yeah.
It comes to life and shoots everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You think this is a game? I shoot fire, MF-er.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was going to say in rapid fire, when they're speaking Chinese, they don't just let it be. They're speaking Chinese and then the audience is like, oh, that's significant because they're speaking Chinese to one another. There's subtitles in there as to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And minus, one part to where it's like, do-da-da-da-da, Guaylo, that like when Brandon Lee's talking to Shredder.
Yeah.
And, that's for a reason, that because it's left to Shredder to be like, he says he likes you or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But something where they could have used explanation for things down the line, like the importance of the Baron Bow, they should have translated the Portuguese through English subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So give us an idea of something.
Yeah. Every time Portuguese or Spanish is spoken in this movie, there's no subtitles.
Yeah.
Which, again, you don't need them all the time, but sometimes if it helps the storytelling in a way,
yeah,
maybe add subtitles.
Yeah. And so all the kids are getting into it except Orlando, who's like, man, I don't need all this shit or whatever. So he just leaves. Cut to the Portuguese Silverio's gang is playing street ball, and Lewis tracks Orlando to street ball, and he's like, why'd you leave class? He's like, I don't need this. Your little game, capoeira, is not going to pay. It's not going to put food on the table. I do stuff for my cousin because it helps me pay, for my mom. It helps me pay to put a roof over her head. It helps, it helps me earn money. Basically the start of the, like, you're better than this kind of thing. And this is our introduction to Silverio.
Do you feel like, because it's almost 40 minutes into the movie when Silverio shows up, so that means there's another 50 minutes left. Do you feel like they introduced him too late or not soon enough? Because I feel like there's a way to where you can just have it be like murmuring between characters of just how bad this person is, and then when they show up. But
I mean, there was, because when they were talking about it, they're like, that's Orlando Olivarius, or
his Silverio.
His cousin runs one of the worst street gangs. Not worse in terms of, like, they just don't know how to be a gang.
They're awful. They thought they were gonna be a doo-wop group. So all of them are just ill prepared.
But like one of the baddest gangs in Miami.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of like exposition there. And that's where we finally get interested. So I think the timing is fine.
Yeah, upon my first viewing, when I admittingly, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I wasn't paying the most undivided of attention.
Yeah,
I was like, he shows up too late in the movie, and then he shows up just three more times, yada yada yada. But when I watched it the second time, I was like, the timing wasn't as big of a thing for me.
Sure.
But it is almost 40 minutes into the movie until we finally see Silverio.
Yeah. But Silverio pulls up.
Who needs to go up a shirt size, by the way?
That's true. I think his shirt size is fine.
Okay.
You
need to show his muscles.
Yes. He pulls up right as... Because he pulls up in Orlando's... Because Orlando's like... He helps the neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's like Robin Hood. Like, he helps the people in the neighborhood. Like, you don't know shit about my cousin.
Yeah.
And I work for my cousin because he puts food on the table. It helps my mom, stuff like that. And he pulls up. He's like, you got to go, man. And the gang's like, he said you got to go. And basically he dispatches all the b-ball boys with capoeira.
Yes.
Silverio pulls up and he's like, oh, so you're the guy teaching capoeira to my primo, my cousin, I don't know if primo means cousin, but like,
listen,
here,
Santo.
Yeah.
So he's like,
he's Santo, saint. And he's like, how much is the school paying you? He's like, enough. He's like, aha, like a saint, whatever. He's like, I want you to train my guys.
Enough.
Enough, sir.
He doesn't say it like that. No. He's like, enough.
Essentially, he's like, I want you to train my guys.
Yeah.
No, you look pretty good. I want, you know, enough of that, that schoolyard shit. Like, train my guys. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And basically, he is like, you think you know about capoeira? He's like, he grew up in the slums of Rio de Janeiro. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't know about capoeira. And basically, he schools him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he schools Lewis. And he's like, you're not good enough to train my guys, but, you know, you're okay. You're good enough to train, you know, my cousin. And then cousin, like, once you're done with this schoolyard stuff, you know, come to college and I'll mm-hmm. teach you. To where I'm just like, why don't you just teach him? Why haven't you just taught him?
Yeah.
And also, how does Orlando not know about capoeira if his cousin is so proficient at mm-hmm. it? Like, it's just, if he's so close to him, there's something to where he'd be like, yeah, I know. Like, if Lewis is trying to teach capoeira, he's like, you don't know. You think I don't know about capoeira?
Hey, like, I don't need this baby shit.
Yeah, you don't think I know about capoeira. Like, mm-hmm. what I've seen of capoeira, it's like, this is baby shit mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Because Lewis is like, you know, it's in your blood, man. He's like, how do you know what's in my blood?
What you're teaching is soft, man. Yeah. I've seen what it can do to hurt people.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Really easy stuff. Mm-hmm. Really easy storytelling stuff mm-hmm. that just nothing. And plus, like, 15 minutes prior, Lewis was like talking, Orlando was talking shit. But when Lewis is getting his ass kicked, he's got like this look on his face like he's seen a different side mm-hmm. of his cousin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know this is kind of the turning point,
mm-hmm.
sort of,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. It's just the timing of like, you were just telling my cousin's the best. You need to get out of here. And then like, what are you doing, Silverio? You're beating this guy up who I don't care about anyway.
Yeah. Go away, my cousin's coming. My cousin's coming. Nico, my cousin.
Yeah.
I thought of that whenever they said my cousin a lot.
But then, you know, he's Diana's tending to his wounds on a very rainy night in the firehouse.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Get it out. Make sure you get it out. That's all right. Get it out.
That's what you do to babies.
Yeah. You got a little more for me, little? You got a little more for me, little man?
Damn, he spit up. Oh, man. Oh, he threw it up. This is my favorite shirt. It's my favorite cowboy shirt.
You got more for me, little man?
So we're at the firehouse, mm-hmm. and again, another, there's not, like, she's the love interest, but there's really not a lot of romance. Like, they kiss, because, like, she's tending to his wound. She's like, take two, don't call me in the morning. And she does, like, he's like, how's your handstand? He's like, it's pretty good. Does a handstand.
Because he used to date.
Yeah. And he's like, well, your handstand's bad, but your back bend is good. And then they, like, they get close, and they start kissing. But that's really it.
Yeah.
Other than that, he doesn't even really stick up for her either.
Here's my bugaboo against that part.
Yeah.
It's established earlier in the movie that she's dating one of the other teachers. One of the guy who's the biggest, he's the most outspoken teacher against what's going on. He lacks the most faith at all the teachers of the students being able to be rehabbed. And he's kind of painted as a dick, and he is. He kissed, like, inside the firehouse when they're on top of each other. Lewis starts kissing Diana, and she accepts it and kisses back.
Yeah.
To which I'm like, listen, here's the thing. It's tough because I am so adamantly against abusive relationships.
Of course.
And it's one of those things where in this movie, there's no hint that it's an abusive relationship. He's just an asshole.
Yeah.
The teacher she's dating is just an asshole. But there is that little tinge of me to where I'm like, you are in a relationship still.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. But again, in real life, life situations are different, and it's much more complicated if that were to happen and that woman were in an abusive relationship. It's a much more it's a much more nuanced, tricky thing.
Sure.
But in the realm of the movie, I'm just going to say all the guy is just a douchebag.
Yeah.
He is an asshole.
Show us them. Show us them having a falling out or something.
After that, he gets confrontational when she's going to her car, and he's like, my students of all people, the word is going around that you used to date this guy, and that, you know, there's something between you two. And she's
what are you doing in the firehouse alone? She's like, that's none of your business.
And then, but then it's not addressed whether or not they break up or anything like that. But that is one thing that it was a slight bugaboo only within the realm of the movie. In real life, of course.
Yeah.
It's a different story.
But this is really the only love shown between them in this scene. Mm-hmm. Because later, we get a montage of, or no, the principal shows up to see how the kids are learning and how they're working together and doing all that stuff. And he's like, wow, like, I was not expecting any of this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we need to get... Or is that later to where they have the TV crew come by?
He sees for himself because she invites her asshole teacher, still, I guess, her boyfriend at this point.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you come see for yourself and see the difference Lewis is making?
Yeah.
Because the principal is like all for it. He's like, he's talking up like the benefits of it, and how, well, you know, the potential what we could do just throughout the whole school district.
Because to the principal's credit, he's like, I'm sticking my neck out for you.
Yeah.
He's endorsing it. He's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, and in this scene, because this is also, it's kind of a turning point in the story for the students, to where he's like, he's telling Kerrigan how much of a benefit this could be, and the asshole teacher shows up, and he's kind of like scoffing at the whole thing. And one of the things before you do the dance of the capoeira, before you play the game of the capoeira, is you... you clasp hands in a certain way to show like you're still unified in this, even if you're facing off.
Yeah.
And Shay and Orlando do that. And the shot is tight on them doing that. So they go into the dance of capoeira and they're swinging their kicks around. There's that move is called something that Lewis, when he's teaching Shay it, he calls it, you know, this, and then this.
Yeah. I didn't write it down. I forgot.
Yeah. Something that's cool too is watching the Joe Blow video showcasing this movie,
which I didn't watch.
Yeah,
I usually watch the Joe Blow videos. Yeah.
The narrator says how this movie is different because it's kind of teaching the audience too.
Yeah,
well, like not just what capoeira, but like the terminology and all these things.
That's true.
So that's one of the things that I thought was cool, to where like people sometimes when they use vernacular that's specific to something the movie's showing, sometimes it can be like, well, what is that? But like in this case, it's like, well, it's kind of teaching you, it's kind of teaching you these things, and sure, they're not really defining it and kind of going as if the audience already knows some of these things, but there are the times to where he's using terminology and saying this or that. But back to the scene to where they're about to go on the field trip, which you're going to talk about.
Yeah.
They clasp hands and they're doing like, they're swinging their kicks and everything. And Shay accidentally kicks Orlando in the face.
Yeah.
And the asshole teacher is like, see, you're just showing them a way to be more violent.
Yeah.
And the principal's like, why don't you take a look at how much of a difference this is making? Because Orlando and Shay have an understanding. Like,
sorry, man. Like, I didn't mean to do that.
Great. A different way to just bloody their noses.
Yeah.
And Orlando comes up, he wipes the blood, and like Shay, you know, apologizes, and they like, bro handshake and stuff like
He's
that.
He's like, prior to this, that would have ended up in a shooting kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it is unifying him. And then he's like, you know, this is going to be a program throughout the district. Like, all that stuff we're going to bring. Mm-hmm. They brought cameras in to film it and stuff like that, be like them show it on the news.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I want to take the kids on a field trip.
Mm-hmm.
To which we're like, they go somewhere with woods and a beach, but they never says we're going to go here.
Right.
We're going to go. And it was funny because we kind of said similar things.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm going to take them on a field trip. And it cuts to the school bus driving over a bridge. And we're like, we're driving to Brazil.
Yeah.
So it's like, field trip where? Mm-hmm. It's like, they should call this movie Bridge to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And they pull up to a very ominous looking location, like in the woods, and the music is kind of swelling. And they're like, where are we? And he's like, let's go set up camp. He's like, I'm not going out there. And stuff like that. And so the whole time you're like, where are they? Mm-hmm. And then the next day they wake up and they see, you know, Lewis is doing, you know, some capoeira on the beach and stuff like he's doing some stretches. And, you know, just to get them all on the beach and like, let's go out and let's let's practice, let's do this, let's work together, let's camp. Mm-hmm. We spend the whole weekend camping on the beach. And that's when they're like, okay, and we get a montage of them mm-hmm. doing flips. And Donovan does some impressive flips.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, he had to have been like a gymnast or yeah. something.
And like they can all do the splits and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like, what is the timeline yeah. of all this? This and, is a month maybe. Mm-hmm.
And that's when the zoom, zoom, zoom yeah. song is playing. Capoeira, na,
pa, yeah. na. And on the bus on the way there, the Paranawe,
yeah.
Paranawe, Paranawe.
Yeah.
So... The thread of a lot of yeah. those things. And then you've got Orlando's reflecting on the beach. He's like, I was supposed to be stripping cars for, you know, my cousin. Mm-hmm. And he's like, is that what you really want to do your whole life? Like, the world is so much bigger than that. And, like, mm-hmm. you're better than that. Kind of, you're better than that speech.
Mm-hmm.
Because previously, when Silverio's like, you can teach my cousin, but don't put any ideas in his head.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that's what he's essentially doing
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, it's like, the world is as big as you want it to be, but it can also be as small as your little hood.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they get back to... the school, which would suck after yeah. like a weekend long field trip. You don't get to go home first.
No,
they just pull right up to school. They're like, class is in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what? Damn it. But they get there and Orlando's like, you know, Silverio's car is like right there. Mm-hmm. He's like, looks like the children are back from the playground. But it's just a waste of the playground. Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right. He's like, you had a job to do this weekend. I need you to, you're not going to school today.
You're working for me full time now.
Yeah. And so he's like, I'm not your slave. And he's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And Lewis has to intervene. He's like, he's not going anywhere. He's going to school. To which he's basically like, oh, great. You did exactly what I didn't want you to. You put ideas in his head. And he's like, oh, well, maybe you can have Orlando if I can have this, if I can have
this little filly.
Yeah, right, your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. If I can have, because Diana, because he's like, well, hello. Well, hello.
John Lovitz.
Well, hello.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I was doing Marv from
Home
Alone 2.
But it does sound
like
hello.
But I did say it like mm-hmm. John Lovitz. To which, again, a lot in these movies, the love interest gets kidnapped mm-hmm. or she's harassed a little bit, but yeah. then Silverio lets her go. Just kind of like, you give your boyfriend a message or something like that. But she doesn't really play a huge role in like into like... the plot or like the climax
just
of the movie,
a supportive friend
yeah
friendly
yeah
friend friendly friend
yeah so it's just a friendly friend. So basically Silverio is like, all right man, like you're preventing me from doing my business. It's like, let's go. They're about to have another showdown in the middle of the street. And he's like, this time I'm gonna put you to the streets.
Rocky Five.
And then the cops pull up and Silverio's like, oh, it's just a misunderstanding, just me and my friend. Like, I'm just picking my cousin up. Fight's over, Mark. Sorry, Mark. And so basically it's like, this ain't over yet.
Yeah.
Kind of. He's like, all right, like before he was just the capoeira teacher that he's like, no, you're pretty good. I want you to teach my men. And now he's like, now you're interfering with my gang.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a problem
yeah.
kind of thing.
And Orlando goes with him. He's like, yeah. sorry, teaches my blood. I can't turn my back on my blood.
Yeah. And then they cut to Silverio and his gang and then the Jamaican gang and the bartender from Encino Man and Silverio standing like setting stuff on fire, and they're like, they've conjoined their gangs. I'm like, where are they?
Yeah. Because
then again, it looks like they're on a beach in like a different country or something mm-hmm. like that. And so they basically come together to say like, public enemy number one mm-hmm. is this guy, and we're gonna come together to essentially take him out.
Make an example of him.
We're gonna make an example of him. This is our neighborhood
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And mm-hmm. so we're gonna come together and do that. And they're watching their gang members fight with swords mm-hmm. and stuff. Where are they?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So it's not like scary, but it's like, oh, it's the business is picking
it's
up.
It's menacing.
It's menacing. It's starting to get intense. And so after that scene, then the gang comes together and they infiltrate the school.
Mm-hmm.
They're like breaking windows yeah. and they're beating up teachers and popping tires in the parking lot. And this is kind of what we were referring to earlier with the Barenbau.
Yeah.
Was, you know, Mr. Kerrigan comes in. They're like, they like break the TV in his classroom. He's like, what are you doing? And he starts beating people up. And
that's my TV from home.
Yeah. When they broke the TV, I was like, no, the TV. That's my TV. I live here. And so,
not my house. Yeah. He even said, "Not my house."
Not, oh, hell no!
Not my house.
But they're running roughshod over the school, and Silverio's in there destroying Kerrigan's classroom with a couple gang members. And Kerrigan takes a swing at him, and he like breaks part of the Barenbau over Mr. Kerrigan's back, and he's like, "He saw our faces. Let's make him into toast." And I was like, well,
everybody sees your face.
Yeah, like, but everyone knows who you are.
Yeah, that's so, one of the things I said. I was like, it's not like you roam the streets of Miami in masks. Everybody sees your face.
Exactly. And so they set his classroom on fire. And Shay and Donovan are like, you know, outside. And they're like, that's Mr. Kerrigan's classroom. Mm-hmm. They run up there. They save Mr. Kerrigan. And Donovan looks in and he's like, the Barenbau's in there. He's like, just hold on. I'll be right back. He's like, no, Donovan, don't go in. And
it's really not worth it.
No, it really isn't, because he doesn't end up getting it.
No. If the fireman says I can't take my PlayStation with me,
yeah,
you shouldn't be able to go in and get your Barenbau.
Yeah. So Donovan runs back in and he dies.
Yeah.
Donovan dies. Like he goes in, like Lewis pulls up in the school bus, which I was like, I guess this is his main mode of transportation now. Yeah. And it's the slow-mo of him running up there, and they're pulling Donovan out of the classroom, and he's dead. He died trying to save the Barenbau, they pay no tribute to him at the end of the movie.
There's a firefighter who he looks like he's about to give him
burnt to a crisp.
There's a firefighter who looks like he's about to give him CPR, and you hear you hear off camera, he's gone, man, and the firefighter just kind of shrugs and walks off. I was like, you could at least show EMT, like when they show Lewis kind of like crying and trying to cry tough, like Poison sings.
Yeah, exactly.
About Donovan's favorite band, Poison.
Yeah, exactly.
and at least they could have shown EMTs rolling in with a gurney, but they kind of just leave.
They just
Donovan
left him
there.
Yeah. And understandably, the principal,
they wax over his body.
Yes. They paint over it. They paint the floors.
And it's a tribute.
It's a tribute.
Jesus, just desecrate his body.
But they outside the news reports, they're like, this guy who's been teaching these kids in this program crossed swords with a notorious gang, and this is how it happened. It resulted in the death of a 17-year-old, to which I forgot Donovan died. So when she said that, I was like, he died?
Yeah.
But whatever.
Also, wasn't sanctioned by the school board, so now it puts the principal.
Yeah, and the principal's understandably irate. He's like, get out. Security, take him out. And they're escorting him off the campus, and Shay is in gym class, and he's like, yesterday, like, Mr. Stevens, like, Orlando didn't show up for school. I don't think he's showing up anymore. Mm-hmm. He's like, what are you going to do? And then the gym teacher is like, oh, it's the Kappa What's-Its guy. He's
he like, almost said it correctly, so yeah. It's like, I gotta make it seem like I don't care.
Yeah, so, he's... Then basically this is now he's on a one man crusade to take out the entire neighborhood gangs and stuff like that. And he's back at the firehouse.
Yeah.
Like, what are you laughing at?
Take out the entire neighborhood. Like, he just puts on a ski mask, starts punching old ladies and
kicking dogs
and smacking things out of kids' hands.
Yeah.
Just shoving them into trash cans.
But Shay, he tells me, he's like, those gangs are,
yeah. I'm thinking of it like it's shot like a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Zissou with Search and Destroy.
Dog, you idiot.
Yeah. But, Shay's like, those guys are looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta lay low. Those guys are looking for you.
Shay. I'm thinking of when Orlando comes into the
firehouse at night, and he's like, and sees that like Lewis is training hard. And he's wearing his green beret stuff, and I eat green berets for breakfast.
And I'm very, very hungry.
commando. But this green beret is gonna kick your ass.
Yeah.
But he comes in, he's like, I shouldn't be here. I just came here to tell you that you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to get out of here. You need to you need to get out of Miami, you need to get out of Florida, you need to go far away.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. He's like, because this is my city, like this is my neighborhood now,
because it is
he grew up there.
Yeah,
they don't touch on that enough.
He said it a couple times, this is my backyard, this is why, like, I'm like,
he's not some someone that floated in from out of town. Like, he's from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, no, this is my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm gonna take it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Orlando's like, he's like, Silverio has an alibi for that school massacre, which I was like, what's his alibi?
Mm-hmm.
No,
that wasn't me.
Fair enough. Well, he's like, no one's going to testify against him. They either think he's Robin Hood or they're too scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, dude, this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a map on Lewis's cot and he's like, how'd you know where his like chop shop was?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got like a car shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they do a lot of the stripping of the cars and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And he's like, how'd you find out where it was? He's like, he's a very popular guy. He's like, you can't go and try and fight all these guys. I'm telling you to leave
mm-hmm.
because he's a dangerous, dangerous guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he killed your friend Donovan. Yeah. Like, he killed my friend Donovan.
Yeah.
And basically Orlando's like, I care about you. I don't want him to kill you
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And so he's like, no amount of capoeira or green beret bullshit is going to change any of that. And I don't like it. That's just the way it is kind of thing. And so then we cut to Lewis infiltrates the car shop. He says, anyone know where I can buy a hot Mercedes?
Yeah.
And there's some cool interacting with the environment, fight choreography mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And this is where we get more Mark Dacascos martial arts, like
mm-hmm.
like regular martial arts
yeah.
and not like capoeira stuff. Yeah. And a lot of stuff in this fight scene reminded me of like a Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He was supposed to be like, at least with his pairing with Sheldon Lettich, he was supposed yeah. to kind of be like the next Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. And so he goes and takes out everyone, you know, in the chop shop, burns one of the cars. Silverio shows back up. And
with money in it.
With money.
With
yeah, he burns the one
it.
With the money in it. He comes, he sees the damage he did. Mm-hmm. And he's like, everyone, like, we're gonna take out this cockroach. Like, bring him to me alive, but everyone go mm-hmm. and bring him back to me. And so basically we just see Lewis, he's like, he doesn't have a car, he's still around here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically see Lewis taking people out, kind of going around the neighborhood, and then the Jamaican gang, they all catch up to him. Mm-hmm. and then the Jamaican leader's like, bring him back alive, remember, bring him back alive. And so they beat him up and they start taking him to Silverio, and we get a wide shot of them dragging him to where Silverio is. Silverio's like, he's got his hair tied up. He's like, he's ready for a fight. Like,
Orlando saw this going on, and he went to go.
Yeah.
He ran away to go do something, which
yeah.
we later find in the final scene.
And as they're approaching Silverio, we see the students all dressed in white form a line
mm-hmm.
and building a wall between yeah. him and Silverio. He's like, we came for our Shay's like, we came for our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And and his brother's like, is this a joke? He's like, we came for our teacher, and it ain't no joke, man.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And this is what we were referring to earlier, and this is what we've been trying to stifle laughter a couple times because of how stupid this is.
Just how smooth brain this kid looks.
He does. He looks like nothing.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, at this point, again, we said earlier, there was like three or four. You got Shay, Eddie, Orlando, Donovan. Those are like the four
people
main
people they give
kids
more than two lines to.
They
never give lines to this kid at all.
That they pay attention to these characters.
Mm-hmm.
They take time with these characters to show growth and mm-hmm. development in these characters. One of Silverio's men walks up to the line of kids. He could have walked up to Eddie, to Shay.
I think he should have walked up to Eddie.
To Eddie.
Because Shay got his chance. Orlando, he's a
yeah.
supporting character.
I want to see Eddie.
Donovan's
dead. Because
we saw
Eddie in montage. Yeah, Donovan's dead. We saw Eddie in montages, like learning and becoming proficient, stuff like that. This should have been Eddie's moment. Gang member walks up to, who the fuck is this?
Literally,
just a random kid.
Literally, because you see him in the background in several
yeah.
scenes, and he's a mouth breather. It's just how, like, that's just his disposition. He's
yeah.
just a mouth breathing guy, you know, his mouth kind of agape.
Yeah.
And you can tell he kind of
yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold.
But he's this bigger kid, like
yeah.
like this mouth breathing kid with a funny haircut.
Yeah, and if you were gonna have a character like that, maybe a lumbering kid who they make fun of his intelligence mm-hmm. and stuff, but it turns out he's very quick and sharp and he takes to it and is yeah. one of the more agile.
I don't know why I'm thinking of like Mikey from Recess.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah. But kind of looks that way. Mikey yeah. from, but in that terms of character,
he looks like him.
Yeah, but yeah, the gang, Silverio's gang member kind of like smacks him on the cheek and the kid does a spin or does like a, like one of the capoeira kicks and knocks him out. And I was like, you wasted that moment on some background character who doesn't have any lines.
He's got nothing behind the eyes.
Nothing
behind expressive the eyes. At all.
No, exactly. And I'm like, that could have been Eddie who did that.
I started laughing.
Well, yeah.
I was like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, exactly. I was so annoyed. Mm-hmm. It's like, that could have been something for a character that we care about, mm-hmm. one of the kids that we care about, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so Silverio comes and busts through the wall, and he's like, don't worry about these kids. Like, this is who I want. I want Lewis. And Orlando steps to him, and he's like, no, you can't have him, kind of thing. And Silverio's kind of laughing, and you see, like, Orlando starts to get into a Jenga, and he comes and he kicks Silverio in the face, which is met with a backhand. Mm. But like
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but it was like, good for you, Orlando. Mm-hmm. Like, he kicked his cousin in the face, which it affected him, but clearly like it didn't yeah. hurt him that mm-hmm. much. Silverio backhands him.
What? It has nothing to do with that. But I thought of when the Jamaican gang, because it's mainly the Jamaican gang who's like destroying the school.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought there's a scene where they're breaking the mirrors.
It's making me crazy.
It's Jamaican me scared. But it looked like one of them had one of those big barreled red wiffle ball bats and was breaking the mirrors with that. That's the only reason. Because it was a connection in my head of like, it almost yeah. felt like there could have been like a squeak noise behind Orlando's kick
yeah.
and like it didn't affect him. It just made me remember in the scene where they're destroying the school,
yeah.
one of the Jamaican gang members is smashing the mirrors in the yeah. bathroom, and it looked like it's just one of those big barrel like wiffle ball bats.
Yes.
Which, I mean, he's swinging hard enough, I guess. Sorry. It's, yeah.
yeah. No, but that is funny. And but Lewis is like, hey, like, you want to try knocking him down? Why don't you try knocking me down?
Again,
Rocky Five.
Yeah.
But
this movie's essentially Rocky Five with capoeira.
Yeah, exactly. Not at all.
No.
But basically, we get into the final showdown, mm-hmm. and Lewis is like, hey, you and me, like, one more time. He's like, okay, fine. He's like, if I win, you let the kids go or something like that. He's like, yeah, if you win. And so we have our final showdown of capoeira. And just two sweaty, shirtless men with swords doing sword play and capoeira.
Sword fight.
Yeah, sword fight. Yeah, they
play.
Take your dick out.
Sword fight
and
sword
so,
play.
But the whole time there's like, they, you know, when you're in a circle, you're clapping mm-hmm. and doing like tribal rhythm and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so far it's the gangs who are like doing their chant and stuff
yeah.
like that. And
it's much more aggressive.
Yeah, typical fight of like it's even and then like the bad guy gets the upper hand and starts beating up mm-hmm. on the good guy, and you need that turning point. And so Silverio's got him on the ground, he's choking him, and that's when Orlando starts the Paranawe, Paranawe, which is still kind of weak
because yeah.
it's just them doing it. But like immediately Lewis pops up and starts kicking his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that if you want it to be more effective, have him like choking and kind of looking over, and it's kind of in slow-mo, and he kind of looks over and it's like, my students are coming
yeah.
together and they're trying to like will me back into this. It's like, it worked. Like,
then the gang members start doing it, and then it's like in Rocky IV where the Russian,
yeah, exactly.
This crowd is pro Rocky.
Yeah. That is not what happens, but
these are the Rocky movies with capoeira.
No,
they're not.
He quickly comes out of the mm-hmm. choking and starts kicking his ass.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been more effective if he starts seeing his students like pulling for mm-hmm. him, kind of thing. But he makes quick work of Silverio, and Eddie kind of gets his
Eddie
moment.
Shea and Orlando.
Eddie Shore, they look over and they're like, hey, look at that. And a couple of the gang members are about to take guns out,
mm-hmm.
and they go and dispatch the two of them with
mm-hmm.
capoeira. And so he beats Silverio. The cops show up. A helicopter starts flying over. The cops show up. Everyone starts running away, assuming everyone got arrested. After they put him on his shoulders and stuff like that,
After Orlando rats him out, essentially.
Yeah, because he's like, you know this guy? He's like, yeah, that's my cousin, Silverio, you know, Olivarius. He killed my friend Donovan. He's like, you willing to testify? He's like, yeah, I'll tell you, you know, it's over. This ain't his neighborhood anymore. I was like, that's not that easy.
No.
You got a hit on your head now.
You probably should go into witness protection.
Just the same way that
Jake Lowe?
No, Jamaican guy's brother. Well, I don't know why.
Shay.
Shay, duh. Mm-hmm. The same way that Shay, you know, like you're betraying family. Like you're both betraying family. Like in the world of the movie, it's like, yeah, you're going away for a long, but you have hits now on your head. So even if they all go to prison, they're going to make demands from prison to have a hit put out on you.
If this were a Walker, Texas Ranger episode,
yeah, exactly.
You both would die after you graduate. Because graduate.
Yeah.
I'm going to graduate.
But he's like, yeah, I'll testify. This isn't his neighborhood anymore. I was like, that's not that easy.
Yeah.
But we cut to the...
That's what I said. I was like, yeah, it's not like they can't just take it back by force.
Yeah, exactly.
They have guns.
Yeah. And he can hear you testifying against him.
Mm-hmm.
But cut to the graduation ceremony, and they're all getting their diplomas. Again, nothing honoring Donovan.
No.
Nothing, no, like... on their task they don't have any. It's like, hey, this is for Donovan, kind of something like that.
It's for real Donovan. It was just a dirty pervert.
And then the part, they're like, a new part of the graduation ceremony is something that was introduced to us by our own Lewis Stevens, and there's a capoeira.
He flew all his buddies in from Brazil,
which there were like female practitioners of capoeira, and I was like, this, the group of kids should have had like one or two girls in it. You know, but yeah, that's the graduation.
And
they all do capoeira, and that's the end. And Lewis gets up, and he starts doing capoeira with them. And that's Only the Strong.
Only the Strong, a movie that I like. I like it now.
I really like this movie.
I do like this movie.
And capoeira is so fucking cool.
It is. It's really cool.
And it looks cool in this movie.
And Mark Dacascos, who made a nice little career for himself.
Iron Chef.
Iron Chef.
Yeah.
Iron Chef America.
Yeah. One of the John Wick movies.
John Wick 3, Parabellum.
He was in the Crow TV show.
The Crow, Stairway to Heaven TV show, which I heard outside, like after the original, is really one of the only like well-respected Crow adaptations.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's not as, you know, it's not the Brandon Lee.
No.
But, I think it did it well to be episodic, and I think they changed the lore a little bit. But he had a nice little career for himself.
Like you said, he did Double Dragons after this.
Which, I mean, that wasn't the death knell for his career.
No.
Maybe for, like, an up-and-coming next Jean-Claude Van Damme it could have been. But he became the first Mark Dacascos.
Yes.
He's done a lot of varying roles.
Yeah.
Just like we do a lot of varying things on this show.
Yes.
Like Martial Arts Month, which has now come to an end.
Yes.
Next week, if all goes the plan, we'll be recording with our sister Samantha over the year 1983, the year of her birth.
Yeah.
So she won't, unlike our mom, she's not going to remember anything about that year, at least not from firsthand
knowledge.
Nothing personal.
Nothing from personal experience.
Exactly. But we've told her ahead of time so she can do all of her own independent research.
Yes.
And then after that, if all goes to plan, recording wise, hope you all enjoyed the Good Time Boys Wrestling Podcast last year where we talked WrestleMania 39. We're going to be talking WrestleMania 40.
Yeah, we're going to be with
Jeff
Wright
again.
Yes.
We're going to
Decatur to watch the two-night event.
Yes. And then after that, who knows?
We know, but
who
you
knows?
Don't. There's going to be another six-mix.
There's going to be another six-mix before the end of April. But that's the end of March. For us and for all of you, by the time you listen to this, it'll be the almost end of March, and that's the end of the show. And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you'd be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.